you just go at it blind, you can't really expect great results.
Well, I think it's vital. When you are starting a new venture, you do need to have an honest check-in with yourself. An honest, right, I got into this. I got into what I did almost arrogantly, thinking, oh, whoever's doing that is out of order. Whoever's trying to sell their services for this stuff, they're wrong. I can learn on YouTube. That lasted about 4 weeks. But as you get more money, you put more money into infrastructure, because that's how you scale at bulk with relative ease. Welcome back to the Goodbye Poor, Hello Rich show with me, your man, the guy. I'm still in the chair, still in the kitchen. Des Hamilton. Here we are back again for another week. Thank you once again to our sponsors, Selleramp SaaS, who continue to blow my mind with the support and generosity and the partnership that we continue to grow with. They are just one of the sponsors going forward for our Des Hamilton Roadshow. Selleramp SaaS, if you don't know, they are the best online sourcing analysis software on the market. You can take it into the shop and scan a product. You can take it onto the internet and scan a product, and it will give you all of the data you would need to know whether a product was good enough for buying and selling as a reseller, as a third-party seller on Amazon, using an FBA model or even an FBM model, and turning a profit. If you're an Amazon seller, Selleramp SaaS is the essential tool that you get involved with when it comes to retail and online arbitrage, so you can analyze products safely and take the risk out. In the show notes is a link that will take you to a 14-day free trial. There's also a discount code down there. Plug that in and it will get you your first month 50% off. Effectively, I'm giving you 6 weeks for free. Give it a go. Let me know what you think. For the eagle-eyed of you out there, you'll notice on the visual, what I'm tapping on is a treadmill behind me. Yeah, that's right. I've got a walking pad. I need to get my steps in because the Des Hamilton Roadshow is kicking off. We are sold out, fully sold out now. It's unbelievable. I went back down to the venue to scope out logistics and now think about production value and the actual show. Yes, it's a masterclass. Yes, it's an educational event. Yes, it's a networking event. But where is the production? Come on, it's a Des Hamilton event. Storytelling, wall to wall. Production value, wall to wall. I want you walking into that and walking out without even thinking you were part of an e-commerce entrepreneurial educational platform. No, I am hosting an afternoon and an evening event, first and foremost. On top of that, you're going to learn things without even realizing it. I can't wait. Truthfully. Right, let's get onto the show, shall we? This is the second part of the Luke Hedger interview. For those that listened back to the last part, I know you all did. Quite frankly, if you're here and you haven't listened to part one, what the hell are you doing? Get back there and have a listen. Luke, he's my PT, so I can lose weight for this bleeding event. He's also my nutritionist. He's also a lovely guy. But most importantly, he's a guy that started an online coaching business 2 years ago. Think about it. Think about how many online coaches there were 2 years ago. What? People moan about Amazon FBA being oversaturated. People are already talking about TikTok Shop being oversaturated, and it's only been going live for about 18 months. Do me a favor. These are just excuses to keep people's fixed mindset in place, keep them in their lane so they don't bother trying to grow. Balls to it. Luke is the example that you need to be listening to, because he, 2 years ago, only 2 years ago, 2022, decided to start an online coaching business and thought, you know what? I don't care how competitive it is because I'm freaking good at it. That's what he did. That's what he said. And look what happened. Look at the success he's had. In last week's episode, he'll tell you how he's close to quitting his job. He can quit his job now if he wanted to, but cash flow kicks in. We get it, right? In 2 years, in one of the most competitive markets online, it just means you've got to stand out more. You've got to differentiate from the pack. When they zig, you zag. When they go left, you go right. Who knows what that means? That's all dependent on you and the things you're good at. Because if you implement the things you're good at, that instantly makes you unique. Luke, he's a chef and he's a bodybuilder. So he implemented that. Who better to get food plans from a guy that knows his food, right? He also knew the benefits of education, and that's what we're going to get into here in this second part. I'll tell you what, I'll leave it be. I'll see you on the other side. All right, just before the good stuff, I want to do a good shout out to Arborsource, another sponsor on the Des Hamilton Roadshow. Arborsource is another essential tool for your Amazon sourcing needs. ArborSource makes online arbitrage so much easier. And I tell you, it is my weapon of choice when it comes to sourcing products online. It gives you a vault of products that are already online, already cheap, and it tells you how they compare to Amazon prices so you can see the difference and you can see the profit margins. There's a scanning facility where you can take any shop or any category and scan it so you come back with real-time information about price discrepancies. There's a price drop feature. It's monitoring stores, so when products drop in price significantly past parameters that you set, you get alerted and you can seize the opportunities. It's also got a brand new Amazon to Amazon flips feature, where it will give you deals that Amazon are selling really cheap that you can then sell back on Amazon at a profit. It gives you this information without you needing PhDs in Keeper charts, and it gives you information before Keeper data gets released. Vital. Once again, there's a link in the description as well as a discount code that will give you 7 days for free and 30% off your first month. Go do them. So how did you get your first clients? You had a gaggle, didn't you, in person?
I started working on getting everything put together and like the software and like the processes behind it, like getting insurance and website and all that stuff in like October of 2023, and then launched it day one of January 2024. First day, put on my story, I'm launching the business, looking to take clients on. And one of my followers, Reese, messaged me, literally like, I'll be interested in that. And I was like, holy cow. Like, had a conversation with him, had like a video call with him, I think it was. And he came on board like a week later.
Amazing.
So literally like day one, got my first person on board. And then from that, I think I got four or five like mutual connections. So like, people I used to work with, family members of someone I used to work with, and a local person in the gym that I go to. So word of mouth was how it started off. And then what I actually did was I hired a business coach myself to help me learn how to do it all properly. And like just the day-to-day stuff of like how to talk to people over social media, how to just put in place things in the business that make sure I'm doing the right things, like daily checklists, like different, like I would just originally take payments for a bank transfer and then have to keep track of it myself. Now I use Stripe. Yeah. So I get like
audits,
data, and set up stuff and reminders, etc. Just literally things like that just make the day-to-day running of a business easier, which then gives me more time to actually coach people, as opposed to have to be the accountant, the literally every aspect of a business. Because of course, as a business owner, you're every single aspect of the business. But it just freed me up time to do what I actually want to do, which is coaching, as opposed to like making more spreadsheets and checking that all the payments are going through on time.
Yeah.
But then just doing that ballooned it up. So I did that in April, and I think definitely by the end of April, I had a couple extra clients, and it just leveled up the online presence, as opposed to like when I was doing it on my own, I would have just posted something on my story saying I offer online coaching.
Yeah.
Now I've got a content structure in terms of what I post on my stories, on my feed,
exactly.
Everything, and it's like targeted to actually like provide value and like position myself as an authority in the industry.
Yeah.
Which for like it's like with a fitness goal, if you just go at it blind, you can't really expect great results. Sure, you get some work done, but then you hit a plateau, which is what I was massively heading towards if I was just going to do it on my own. I wanted to nip it in the bud and go straight to the source and find out how to do it properly without wasting a year trying to figure out how to do it myself. Because a year in now, I'm ready, like pretty much ready to quit my day job. But I reckon if I hadn't hired a business coach to teach me how to do it, I wouldn't be anywhere near that, I reckon.
Yeah, mate, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. And I think it's vital. When you are starting a new venture, you do need to have an honest check-in with yourself, an honest one. to figure, right, what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? I've never done anything like this before. I don't know what I'm doing with business. I don't know how to target my social media. That guy does. He's got the answers. And then implementing a strategy like that. For you, you're right. I got into this. I got into what I did almost arrogantly, thinking, oh, whoever's doing that is out of order. Whoever's trying to sell their services for this stuff, they're wrong. I can learn on YouTube. That lasted about 4 weeks. I'm like, nope, I need freaking help on this. It's I think it's vital. I really do. And it's an ongoing education. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Really interesting. 100%. So then it was mostly Instagram for you, wasn't it?
Yes. I definitely need to tap into TikTok. I just forget it's there, honestly. I forget because like Facebook, it's mainly Instagram because it's the one that I use and it's the like interface I find most friendly and just easy to use. It's the one I use the most myself. So that's what I built it all up on. I'm slowly transitioning into TikTok to try and like tap in on the potential there because I know it's huge.
Yeah.
I know it's massive. and then YouTube is something to tap into eventually. I know there's a lot more that goes into that with like Instagram and TikTok is like 60, 90 second videos, whereas in YouTube, you got, I don't know, uncappable videos.
It is uncappable. Long form's a different game. Long form, it takes
like
a lot.
The editing and, the work that goes into that's a lot. But definitely something to think about in the future. But Instagram is the bulk. And then slowly bringing up my presence on TikTok as I've realized that it's very, very good, good app to be on.
Yeah, I think you're wise to go across, but I Instagram is the one. In terms of converting audiences, unless you've got a funnel somewhere like my Facebook group, for example, that's a great audience of people that have literally followed me onto a platform. If you were to say, well, I've got 19,500 on Instagram and just shy of 75,000 on TikTok, I would put them both on a par in terms of what the conversion rate. I think in currency terms, 20,000 on Instagram is worth 80,000 on TikTok. I'm almost certain of it. Just purely because on TikTok, you can follow someone, but it doesn't necessarily mean that their posts are going to pop up on your feed. On Instagram, you follow someone and you are guaranteed to see their posts. It's more of a targeted sort of experience, I think.
I think that, correct me if I'm wrong, but the people on TikTok, attention span is even less than on Instagram. It's a kind of a yung kind of
3 seconds.
It's kind of it's one of those apps where you're looking for, in the general speaking of it, it's like a dopamine outlet for the most part. Whereas Instagram probably got a lot. Do you know what I'm trying to say? It's probably
It's a better concentration levels because you are following someone, you're invested in them, and you will listen to what they got to say, and not just give them 2 seconds of your time before you decide whether they're good enough or not. Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. All of those reasons, mate. I've no surprise that Instagram's the one that's landed the most. I'm really not.
Like I said, because I think Instagram's been around longer than TikTok as well. It was a relatively. Yeah. TikTok's probably relatively new. It's a baby in terms of like social media apps, but it's blown up massively. But I think it's one of those things, like, obviously I'm not that much of an older generation than the TikTok generation, like the young people, like 18-year-olds now. But it's one of those things that when you grow up with something, you kind of stick to that mostly.
True.
Like the majority of people stick to what they know. And then not venture out of that. So I think when TikTok come out, when did TikTok come out? Do you know off the top of your head?
No, it was, I want to say 2017, something like that. 2017, 2018.
I was probably like just out of my like scrolling phase and probably just in a kitchen somewhere working 16, 17 hours a day. And then it has only come about in the last couple of years that I've got a bit more free time to actually scroll. But then I was fully invested in Instagram by that point.
Definitely, mate. But I only joined it in 2022, like late. And I, even then, I only joined it because I knew no one else was on it. And if I fell on my ass, no one would see. That was it. That was the only reason. You're right. Everyone's on Instagram. That's why I took them all onto Facebook. Everyone's doing Discords or there's things that I can't even name that I don't even know for different platforms. But I thought, nope, I'm 40. My audience are going to be 40. We're on Facebook, you know, you do. You need to know your audience, don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So what sort of challenges? Did you have a plateau where you thought, you know what, I need to put paid ads on it? Or have you just been growing nicely?
I've only ever done one paid ad. And wow. That was my January offer. I think I put like 50 quid on it to sponsor the post for like 5 or 6 days. And
that's hardly anything, is it?
It did good.
Did
like
it?
Like through like clients and yourself sharing the stuff, it did very well with that January offer. But that's the only time I've ever done a paid ad.
Wow.
And I might do it again in the future, but it's one of those things. It's like I'd rather get organic growth and organic leads that want to come on board for the sake of what I can give. But at the same time, Instagram is huge. The algorithm sometimes works in your favor, but there's like out of 8 billion or like 10 billion, however many people on the planet, a lot of them could potentially want to come on board. But if they never see my profile, then they'll never have that opportunity. So paid ads do have their place in that respect.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I think over... It was all organic growth, just posting consistently and posting the social proof. So like if clients are winning on something, I'm showing that off.
Right?
I'm not just like if you've got to people buy with their eyes and they want to see that it's legit and they want to see people like themselves getting those kind of results. So plastering my Instagram with everyone's successes is the way that I think that's worked. Because if you go on someone's page and there's like no one but them on there, like they're not talking to another human being, like, well, it could all be a front and it could just be all that they're just making it all up.
Yeah.
But if you've got other people there vouching for them, it's much more, there's much more of a buy-in.
Yeah, definitely. So who was your audience when you first started off? Who did you target a particular niche?
So I suppose I didn't dial in a niche initially. I think I would like to say that I wanted to train people like myself, like males 18 to 30 years old, just because it's like similar interests and mindset.
Yep.
But I actually found that I got a lot of attention from 20 to 40 year old women that I actually had a particular success in helping with. And I do have, it's probably 60% female clients on board at the moment. And I don't know why. I potentially, it's probably my persona, I think I'm quite friendly, whereas I'm not a laddie lad.
No.
Like a lot of laddie lads want to be trained by a laddie lad,
yeah.
But I'm a bit more relaxed and I don't know. So I didn't dial in on a niche initially, but it's mainly the people that, like I say, have that desire to improve and they've got the work ethic and they want to put in the work, but just lack the guidance and the direction to go in.
Yeah.
So, but it's, if I could dial in a niche, like put it in a bracket, it's probably going to be 20 to 50 busy professionals.
Yeah.
Like the key thing is making it as simple as possible. So it's people that are probably short on time, but they want to do well with the time they do have. So I've got some people that have the ability to go to gym 4, 5, 6 times a week and spend loads of time cooking. But a lot of people, they have kids. They need to get stuff done quickly, efficiently. So it's maybe 2-3 quick sessions in the gym, simple meals that is going to work with the family time as well. So I suppose a lot of that niche kind of goes into that respect in terms of busy people that just need that guidance in like finding how to optimize the short amount of time they do have.
Yeah. Mate, what just listening to that, initially what I really, really like is a lot of people try and overthink this. A lot of people, they tend to go two ways. One, I don't want to niche down because I want to talk to everyone. That's the wrong thing to do. Everybody knows that, but that's what everyone's inclination is because they feel like they should be talking to everyone. Or people overthink it so much so that it almost the old procrastination kicks in because they find it too difficult. The key is exactly like you said. If you don't know what audience you're talking to, just talk to yourself. What things are you feeling? What things are you experiencing? Because that is what a lot of people who can just relate to you will also be experiencing. That's what I did. I talked to 44-year-old working parents who had enough of their job. There's thousands of them out there. It's, well, more than that.
It's everyone.
Yeah, it's just bloody everyone. But you do, and that's the fascinating thing. You find yourself talking to who you think you're talking to. And I had the same. All of a sudden, I had 20-year-olds who were looking at me like a bigger brother or even a father sort of character. And yeah, middle-aged women sort of looking over as well. And I'm thinking, you're not my audience, but I'll take it. No problems at all. Because you realize then how many universal truths there are out there, regardless of everyone's experience. But I think you hit the nail on the head. If you're getting started and you don't really know what you're doing, just talk to yourself. Talk to the people that you are. And I think you're right as well. Because it's the next question was, is what is it that you do as a PT that stands you out in a very, very competitive field of online PTs?
I think what helps me in that respect is putting my personality out there. A lot of people I see on online coaches and in the fitness industry is it's just it looks like a transaction of information and there's just no emotion behind it. And like it's, you can tell someone's just following a script for a video and like it's all completely just blocky and just unauthentic. Whereas I post, like I don't even use my personal Instagram anymore. It's non-existent. I post my personal life on here as well, on my business page, so people can see the relatability and they see that I'm a normal person and I enjoy pizza and takeaway and I can get great results at the same time. So then people are like, I enjoy pizza and takeaway. I also want a good result. So how do you add the two things together? Because people need to see that it's a normal person. And like, if I can do it, anyone can really do it. So I think pushing, like showing so much of my personality is the way to do it. Because also people want to, like, they don't want to be in that transaction kind of feeling. You want it to feel like you're chatting to your mate. You want, like, if your mate, you're more likely to accept advice from your friend than a stranger. So if you can build a relationship and a friendship, and get on with the person and have a laugh, you're more likely to accept when they like pull you back in line and say, right, we need to change this, as opposed to someone that has no buy-in whatsoever. And it's just, right, you're paying me to tell you what to do. Just do as I say.
Yeah.
It's like, here, I understand the why behind your goal. Let's delve into like the emotional side of it and understand why you've made this decision here. Let's try and work on that. So I think personality is 100% what's helped me succeed, as opposed to just posting information on the internet and hoping someone wants to come on board.
It's more than just a color by numbers, isn't it? That's the thing. I remember I've got people contact me when I share my stories. Oh, what's he like? What's this guy like? One guy came to me and said, I've been working with this guy who's a bit of a nightmare. I told him I wanted to move to Whole Foods, non-processed stuff. And then he told me to go out and buy some grenade bars. He said, I had to end up saying to him, have you seen the crap that's in these grenade bars? And then we just went round and round and round. And I said to him, I went, look, Luke's a chef. He's a bodybuilder, so he knows how to cut weight and he knows how to put weight on. He's a good guy. He's not a geezer. That was it, really. And I said to him, I went, I'm moving to a whole foods diet and we've already changed my meal plan and it was already kicking on. Stuff like that matters, I think. The fact that you can listen and adapt and you know your food, that matters, man.
It probably, like, when it comes to a physique goal or fitness goal, whatever it is, it's like 80% diet. And if you can make sure the stuff you're eating, like I say, if it's good food, whole food predominantly, you're going to feel better. You eat the right amount, you're going to look better. And you make sure it's tasty, you're going to enjoy it so much more.
Absolutely.
Like, no grenade bars inside. I used to enjoy a grenade bar, but realistically, the amount of protein that's in it, for the flavor and the sugar and all that, it's rubbish.
Yeah.
It's not good. As an alternative, as like a quick fix, if you want something on the go, if you like being caught with your pants down and you're at a service station and you don't know, like you need to get some protein in, go for it. But in the grand scheme of things, eat some Greek yogurt or like just, there's so many better options that are going to make you fuller, feel better, look better, feel better.
I got caught short a couple of weeks ago and I was in the shop and it was one of those like Tesco Expresses and I ended up buying just like a few slices of ham that sorted my protein out and it was delicious. It was one of those. I thought, my God, what I should be eating more ham. This is amazing.
Exactly, yeah. Sometimes it will be, on an extreme case, it's just like the sliced chicken, like plain sliced chicken, just get it in, or like boiled egg. From a meal deal section,
always, mate. I've got three. We've always got at least three boiled eggs in the fridge just for an emergency snack. Can't go wrong with a boiled egg.
No,
I love it. So, what's next, mate? What we're talking that you could quit your job, but at the same point, as a person who has quit their job, all of a sudden, when you start taking salaries out of your cash flow, it matters, and it's quite notable.
Yeah, I think the goal behind it was to. Like I said, it when I signed up with my business coach, like the motivation behind it was number one, to quit the day job. Number two was to buy a nice new car. And number three was to then have the freedom to go travel and work from anywhere.
Lovely.
So to like take my girlfriend to explore Australia.
Oh, nice.
So I've been there before and it's fantastic. And my partner, like a few places in Europe, she's spent all of her life in Devon in England, so I want to show her the world and be able to make money at the same time doing it, so I have the financial freedom to do that. So next step, so I'll be on track with those goals, hopefully quit the day job first and then get rid of the old the heap of rubbish that sat in the driveway and then I think realistically speaking I set my time goal in terms of that travel goal a bit too early. I think I'd rather quit the day job, buy a nice new car, crack on for a year or two, and then I'll be definitely in a position to do that.
Yeah,
I think it's good to put in like a year or two of solid hard work, just benefit me massively down the line, as opposed to going into it too early. And hopefully, like, just thinking off the top of your head, I'd love to get into a position where I hire someone underneath me to like really blow the business up and expand.
Get scaling. Yeah, that's a great shout. That's a great shout. It's funny, when looking back, you look at my very first post when I started in 2022, and I said, in 2 years, I'm going to have 100 grand and I'm going to be loaded. Here I am, 100 grand. I don't bloody feel loaded. I've got, so that 2-year goal, even though the challenge is done, it's now a case, I'm 44 now. Let's go till I'm 50. Because I reckon in 6 years, we can make a big, big dent on all of this. But you do have to adapt your goals, don't you? You do have to know when, all right, the deadline on that was far too tight, even though it was ambitious. You want it ambitious, right?
But yeah. Moving. I think I've seen lots of stories of people on like blowing up on social media and like on online business where they go from nothing to something, and when you finally reach that goal that you were dreaming of, it's like, now that you have it, it's not it's not that dream goal anymore. So then, like, you just got to set the bar even higher. So once you do reach your goals, like you said, it's like, okay, now what? So, like, always got to have a bigger goal on top as well. I don't think people are ever truly, like, content once they reach that goal. It's like, right, now what?
Exactly, so, right. Someone said to me, yeah, you've climbed a mountain, but in the distance, there's a bigger one. And that's exactly
absolutely. I think, the goalposts change as well, because once you get into that, like going from making nothing a month with my online business to then making a good amount, it's then like, well, as it's scaled up, the goalposts change. And
it's all subjective, isn't it? Because as you get more money in, you start investing in other things to scale it, but it takes the time out. An accountant costs a lot of money. If you're going to go VAT registered, all of a sudden you're going to start eating those fees. Your software fees are going to get more expensive. All of it.
Yeah, exactly. Like with doing it on Google Sheets with zero expenses and start fees to run it, it's like, oh, I made 70 quid this month. Ka-ching. Now it's like I have to pay 500 quid a month just to upkeep the business for softwares and different stuff. So then I would need more than 70 quid a month, or more than it just compounds and goes sky high in terms of whereas 500 quid a month in my first month is like, wow, I've made so much money here. It's like, now it's like, if I make 500 quid a month, I ain't paying my rent. I need that to be $5,000 a month or something.
It blows my mind when you look back at it like that. Because we started with £200. This is the thing. We started with £200 and we were in Dubai a couple of months ago and the drinks bill was more than that. And you think, my God, how have I done this? How have I come to this place? But it is amazing. You need to do those things in order to scale, right? Because if you're doing a Google Sheet and you were to track your hours, you would be working less than minimum wage just to keep the upkeep as you take more clients on. But as you get more money, you put more money into infrastructure, because that's how you scale at bulk with relative ease. And it's, people always talk about this. When they talk about scaling up, they talk about it as if their heads are in the cloud and this is just magical money that's coming down. And you go, no. You take a leap of faith in your time, because your time goes up, and you take a leap of faith in your cash flow, which takes a massive hit because you've got to invest in infrastructure. Scaling up isn't all roses. It actually is two steps back to go three steps forward, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think it's like that sense of scaling up would be quitting the day job. And then that's like £2,000 a month of my income gone. So I need to, you need to be ready for it. And you need to really, I'll have more time I'll have all those hours to spend working on myself, but then it's a big risk. You gotta take the risk.
Really is, mate, because it's not just your salary, it's your benefits, it's your annual leave, it's your sick leave, it's your pension pot, it's all of these things that you could get as the perks of being a job. There's a lot to be said for a job. Someone said it's a safety blanket. It really is a safety blanket, because the whole thing is that they're meant to keep you snug and safe and warm so you don't leave. That's the point.
I think it would be a very different scenario if, even with working a job, you had to do all your taxes and you had to be your own accountant and do all that stuff. And
see you later.
Nightmare, which is nice and comfy. Like, yes, the work you have to do is the hard work, but imagine all of that on top of it as well. So it's definitely designed in a way to keep people non-complacent and comfortable, like you say.
Absolutely right.
Sadly, not enough in a lot of cases.
Exactly. And I think people are growing more aware. I really do. I love it. Right, mate, let's wrap it up. What is the biggest bit of advice you can give to anyone aspiring to be a PT, or to anyone looking to put a service that's usually a personal touch into the online space?
Just put your personal touch on it. Put your personality into it. Unless you have a terrible personality, then it's probably not for you. Don't work in a customer facing environment. But if you have a smidge of personality, show it. Like, if there's something unique about you, show it. Just make it a personal approach, and hopefully you've got the knowledge and the skill set to back it up. And if you do, if you have, even if you have all the knowledge in the world, but you have a terrible approach and you can't talk to people, then you're not going to do well. But even if you have a little bit less knowledge, but you are incredibly friendly and you can get a work out of someone and get them to commit and do what it is they need to do to reach a goal, if you can break through to them with your personality, you're going to be much more successful. So I think just be confident, just put your personality into it and give it your best shot, because that's all you can do is you can just try. Like, that's all you've got to do is try. You might succeed, you might fail, but if you don't try, you ain't going to know.
Exactly right, mate.
Just try it.
Lovely way to end the show. Look, thank you so much for coming on. I'm really interested to see how you get on as well. So definitely check back in. When you quit your job, we'll have you back.
100%. 100%.
Top man. Yeah. Thanks, Luke.
Hopefully it won't be too far away. Hopefully it won't be, hopefully only be in a couple of weeks.
Oh, mate, that'd be amazing. Oh, okay. I was going to see if I could hit my weight goal first, but don't worry about it. We'll still have you back on. I'll just be a bit heavy. All right. There's the show. There's the Luke interview. I don't think people should be sleeping on this one because I think it's valid. I think there are so many elements, as I said, that goes hand in hand, a weight loss journey, a self-growth journey, an entrepreneurial journey, and Luke himself as a business journey as well. There are so many things about just putting habits in place, baby steps, incremental growth. Don't go too fast, too hard. All of these classic patterns that underpin so much of what can make you a better person, a better business, a better employee, a better employer, all of it, right? Slow, steady growth, good habits. I can't say it enough. It's incredible. Right, that'll do it for this week. Next week, wallop, we've got Chris Stewart in. Chris Stewart is a TikTok affiliate who started about 15 months ago, did nothing for the best part of 6 months, barely anything. Accounts cancelled, posts bombed. Then one post, 15.7 million views, five figures in profit, and a life changer. Chris is one of the good guys. We do this one in person. It's a hell of a show. Also, while you're here, go back and listen to Tuesdays or get on my website and my app where you can watch it as a visual, because I'm not posting on YouTube anymore on Tuesdays. Go and have a little look at that. The feedback I've had on that one is unreal. All about motivation, embracing the light in that you want goals and you want dreams and you want visions for your future, but also embracing that dark part of you where you stick two fingers up to anyone that dares to doubt you. Embrace that side of you. Go back and have a little listen, because there's a good 20 minutes on this. That will do. Have a lovely weekend. I'll see you on Tuesday. And the Des Hamilton Road Show keeps on trucking. Later.
You've been listening to the £200,000 to £100,000 Challenge podcast. Make sure you join us next time for more real talk and some undoubtedly terrible jokes as Des gets ever more closer to saying goodbye poor, hello rich. Just a little reminder that this podcast is for information and entertainment purposes only. It cannot and does not constitute any form of financial advice. We know things are tough for a lot of people right now, so if you need assistance organising your money, please seek the help of a qualified financial advisor.